So Passover is about passing it on. And that's step number four. We've gone through the basic ingredients. We talked about wine and matzah. We talked about freedom. We talked about personalizing Passover. It's time to pass it on. And the primary focus of the Seder is education. In fact, there are special halachas that govern when we start the Seder, how we prepare for the Seder. And it's all about ensuring that we can fulfill the mitzvah of Higadat Levincha, that you pass the story onto your children. I always find it comical that people talk about Passover and archaeology, and they say they haven't found the smoking gun, and they haven't found the missing link, and they haven't found, what did they want to find? Moshe's matzah? Like, what's the statistical chances of having a mitzvah to pass that on from generation to generation to generation? And somebody just made this up all of a sudden? A story with millions of people, and everybody accepted it? Jews accepted it? No way. It's just not possible. And the statistical chances of Passover being created out of thin air are basically nil. Especially because you can't create historical facts. It's even more challenging to create historical facts when it's a mitzvah, it's a sacred duty to sit one night a year and to talk to your children about this night. And it's a special mitzvah. So the Torah talks about different kinds of children. And there's this proverbial four sons who are not necessarily sons more than daughters, and it's not necessarily four, but that's what we talk about, four categories of sons or children. So here we have three snippets of insight from the Rebbe about the concept of the Arba Banim, the proverbial four children that was supposed to pass it on to. Keneged Arba Banim. So the Rebbe says, the first thing which comes to mind when you start to analyze the verses, the psukim, that speak about these proverbial four sons, so here's a question. When it comes to the pasuk, when it comes to the verse, which speaks about the Chacham and the Tam. So the wise son, that's the son everybody wants. That's the good son, the son that gives you nachas. Gives you, you feel good about that one. And then there's the Tam. Then there's the simple son. He's not a bad kid, he's simple. He's not very sharp, he's not intuitive. He's not a bad kid, he's just simple. So when the Torah speaks about both the Chacham and the Tam, it uses a single tense, b'lashon yachid, and the scriptural quote is ki yishalcha bincha machar lemer. When your son, singular, your son will ask you tomorrow, saying, and then it speaks about the tam. It says v'haya ki yishalcha bincha machar lemer mazais, which is parenthetically interesting to note that the Jewish people haven't even come out of Egypt yet, and already Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about skepticism. Already he's talking about, your children are going to ask, did this really happen? It didn't happen yet. This is a Parshas boy. It didn't even happen yet. But when your children will ask, it's to begin with. Moshe Rabbeinu was immediately talking about, how do we keep this going? Not how do we experience it today. How do we keep it going? How do we pass it on to the future, even before we started? But at any rate, those psukim are singular. The ilu b'pasuk shel harasha, when it talks about the wicked child, it's b'lashon rabin. The Torah says, "V'hoyo ki yemru aleichem b'neichem," when your children, plural. So there are only three children who actually say something to you. The fourth child doesn't say anything; he's clueless. Just looks at you like, "What do you want from me?" That's the sheini de alishal. That's the child doesn't know how to ask. So Torah doesn't use a language telling when the child will ask, because that's the child who doesn't ask. That's where you have to take initiative and speak to the child. But there are three children who ask questions. There's a simpleton who asks simple questions because he's a simple-minded fellow. There's the very wise child who asks incisive and very, very good questions. And then there's the agnostic child who asks questions, but not because he wants answers. He's throwing darts at you. He's taking your neshama out. But amazingly, the Torah changes tense. And it says, ki yoimru aleichem b'neichem, when your children will say to you. And what is the message? That you're not going to have too many chachamim. You're not going to have too many tamim. You'll have, maybe one wise child, maybe one simpleton, the rest of them, they're all going to be wicked. Is that the message? The Rebbe didn't think so. So he believed the following. He believed the Hatam, that the reason for this was, is because HaBen Rasha Yesh Bekam Mesugim. There are many kinds of wicked children, many kinds of wicked people. Mebechinas Ramat HaYidiyot Shalehem, when we talk about the level of intelligence, or the level of knowledge. So there are many kinds. There are very smart, wicked people. There are very dumb, wicked people. The common denominator is that they're agnostic and angry. The common denominator is that they don't want to deal with or engage in Judaism. But there are many kinds. They aren't at one level of aptitude. Now, because he could be either a chacham, he could be really smart, or he could be a tam, quite foolish, or a sheini de'alishal, clueless, the only common denominator is that all they're saying is, what are we doing? Ma ha'vayda zeis, what is this? U'kefi sh'ratzi ra'inu b'muchash, sh'davke elu sh'einam yedim lishel. It's what the Rebbe says, as you often see, it's the ones who aren't even intelligent enough to ask a good question. They're the ones who are just, they're not asking really questions, incisive questions. They're just making agnostic comments. And they're just being snide and kind of critical. Mahavai does this. What is this? What is this? And they ask with the greatest strength, with the greatest like angst when they ask these questions. And the Rebbe says that somebody once mentioned another reason to him about why the Rasha is Belashon Rabim, because the nature of Rishayim is that they speak with many tongues and in confusion. The Rasha doesn't really know what they want out of life. They're just angry, frustrated, upset. Something bothers them. They don't know what it is. And therefore, whenever you have wickedness, you have selfishness, and that leads to divisiveness. So when it comes to Ben HaRasha, we have lots of voices, a cacophony of different ideas. The common denominator is none of them are favorable. None of them are happy about Judaism. So that's the first thing. First thing is the Rasha comes in many shapes, sizes, and forms. The Chacham is kind of monolithic. He's just smart. He's wise. He wants to learn. The Tam is also kind of singular. He's a Tam. He's defined by his mental aptitude, his ability. The Chacham is not any more righteous than the Tam. He's not any more holy. He's not any more observant. He's just smarter. Whereas the Rasha comes in a whole kaleidoscope of flavors. Okay, so what do we do with this Ben HaRasha or these challenging children? So moving on to point two, Psukei HaChacham Hem B'Sefer Dvarim. The verses of the Torah that speak about the wise child, you'll find them in Deuteronomy. HaPsukim Shel Divrei HaTam, the words that speak about the simpleton, Hem B'Sefer Shmos, they're found in the book of Exodus. It's found in the 13th chapter. V'davke Psukei HaRasha, when it comes to the verses of the wicked child, or the She'eni De'elishel, the child who's too clueless to ask even, they are the first verses that show up. Here's the good news, says Moshe. We didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. But right away, in the 12th chapter of Parshas Bo'i, before we leave Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is already narrating the future, and what does he inform the Jewish people? He tells them, you're going to come to the land of Israel. They're very happy about that. He says, you're going to have children. They're very happy about that. He says, wipe that smirk off your face. Let me tell you about those children. Let me tell you who his children are going to be. And he talks about the Ben HaRasha. He talks about the child's going to be agnostic and to make comments and not want to accept. So what's going on here? Why do we start off? And the Rebbe said that there is a penetrating message and a very, very important idea being conveyed to us. Al yoimar odom, let a person not say, daily, it's enough for me. Sha'aktish mihoini mikoichi umizmani, I'll give of my treasure, my time, I'll give of my wherewithal, my ability. Lama'an ben chochem, for a wise child, for a good kid. Ha'oisek umisanyan bedos Yisrael, the one who is engaged, the one who is interested in our Jewish faith. In our religion, ulachola yaser, at very least, we'll maybe put resources into trying to educate the child who's a tam. He's a simpleton. He's not angry. He's not agnostic. He's simple. He's a simple child. He's, you know, he liked to learn. He's just not that smart. Hula pachas shoyel. At least he asked questions. Maybe not brilliant questions, but he asked questions. He's misanyan. He's interested. He shows interest. Avaloy avoy b'maga imi shemiskaven limrid. I have no interest in getting involved with that Jew whose nature and desire is all rebellious. I'm not getting involved with him. Leave me alone. I'm going to stick to the good kids. I'm going to engage with those who are at least interested, who he's actually asking questions. At least they want to know something. The child who's disinterested, the child who's rebellious, the child who's just doing this to spite me, I don't want to deal with that child. A person might say that. In fact, that's intuitive. And the Torah comes along and says to you, no, that's not the right way. Because adrava, in truth, keneged arba abodim dibra teira. The Torah does speak corresponding to four kinds of children. And you should know that tchilas hadibur hu lahatzil. The beginning of the speaking is to save, lekarev, to draw close, letaken, to fix, esasha'eni de'elisha v'sarosha. That means the lion's share of our resources and our time and our energy have to be invested not in the child who brings us a shiny apple every day, not in the good kid who's at least interested, or maybe one who's even really smart, but the emphasis, our time, our effort, our wherewithal, has to be invested in the child who's clueless, or maybe even rebellious, goes against what we stand for, what we're interested in. Furthermore, Zeis Va'id, Hamayna L'Rasha, the response to the wicked one, B'Psukei She'ini Yedei Alishal, is found in the verses of the child who doesn't even know how to ask. In other words, the Torah doesn't give us the answer of what to say to the wicked, the rebellious child. The Torah gives us an answer to both wicked, rebellious, as well as clueless, only in the context of the clueless one. Why? So the Rebbe here teaches us a lesson of how to look at a yid, even a rebellious yid. He says, "Ki be'emes kol Yisrael he ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim." The truth is that deep down, beneath the surface, every single yid is a believer. V'hamashia, the wicked one, who rak mepnei shalafisha, it's only because temporarily, who eine yedeya al kach, he just doesn't know about this. He doesn't know about his emunah. He doesn't know about his faith. He doesn't know about his intrinsic desire to be close to Hashem. He doesn't know about the fact that deep down there beats a vibrant Jewish heart, that underneath all that surface there rages a Jewish soul who is desperately seeking a little bit of inspiration. But he doesn't know that. He's misguided. And because he doesn't know that, ve'ein yedei afilu lishal akach, he doesn't even know to ask. Why? Like the Gemara says in Masechet Seita, that when a yid does an aveda, why does do an aveda? Because nichnasel by ruach shtus, the spirit of folly has overtaken him. In other words, the Rebbe is telling us that the rasha is kind of a she'eni de'elisha, the rebellious child who makes all the snide comments and all the critical messages and all the challenging words and ideas and all the rebelliousness. That child doesn't even know how to ask. He doesn't know how to articulate what he's like. What you ask him? What's bugging you? What is your issue? He doesn't even know what his issue is. He doesn't even know how to articulate what's really bothering him. But you should know that deep down what's really bothering him, he's a she'eni de'elishli. He doesn't know how to ask. What's really deep beneath the surface is a neshama that desperately craves closeness to Hashem. And that's the way we have to approach this with. And if we are parents, Hashem gives us the intuition. And he gives us the wherewithal. The Rebbe once told my father, in a very private moment, my father asked help. Somebody had asked my father to ask for help, right? It's right outside the Rebbe's room. And the Rebbe said to my father with great emotion, parents have to know what to do. Hashem gives parents the ability to know what to do. He says, nobody can tell them. I can't tell them, the Rebbe said. The parents will know. They will know. He said, I can help. They will know. If Hashem gives parents the knowledge, they will know what to do. That was the Rebbe's approach. If you're the parent, you will know what to do. You have to dig deep into yourself. You will find the answer. You're the parent. You're the parent, you'll find the answer. It's not possible otherwise. The Rebbe said Hashem gave parents a responsibility. He gives them also an ability. It's very easy to say if you're not dealing with a rebellious son. But that's what we believe. And because we know that to be true, so that has to become our perspective. That has to become our attitude. And that's what the night of Pesach is about. So if somebody would say, who's the night of Pesach really about? About the shiny, happy little boy, the nice child who's giving you nachas? No, No, the night of Pesach is about working with the child who's anything but shiny and new, who's battered and bruised, who's spiritually craving but doesn't even know it. And that's what the night of Pesach. The Rebbe once pointed out that the four cups that we drink, the Arba Kaisers, they also correspond to the four children. So the first child is a Ben HaChacham. What do we make over the first glass? I make Kiddush. What else? What should you make over a Chacham? Make Kiddush over him. And then the third glass, what do? You do Berchat HaMazon. Berchat HaMazon, simple child. Thank Hashem. And the fourth glass, singing Hallel. It's a clueless child. Thank Hashem. Sing over him. The second cup, the whole Haggadah. The whole Haggadah. The whole recitation, the whole telling is over that second cup. Who does that correspond to? To the Ben Harasha. In other words, the lion's share of the cups, the most time is spent with the Ben Harasha. And we'll conclude this morning's lesson. Rasha is a very powerful word.
It's not rebellious.
I'm not calling him. The Torah calls it a Ben Harasha.
Rasha is a rebellious?
Deep down, the Rasha is rebellious. Yeah. On the surface, because on the surface he's wicked. But what the Rebbe taught us to look at him is really he's rebellious. He's not really wicked. Deep down, underneath all the wickedness, there's a neshama. He's like. Now, if you think the Ben HaRasha is a problem, we're going to finish off with the last point, which is the Rebbe introduced a fifth child. And, you know, in recent years, I've seen many people talk about this fifth child. In fact, 2 years ago, in a local publication, a rabbi wrote a whole article as if he discovered Antarctica about the fifth child. I'm like, I wanted to tell him, dude, like, the Rebbe's been talking about this for about 45 years now. The Rebbe was the first one to speak about the fifth child. He says, Arba bonim shenim zemezeh, four children. Oh, they're so different from one another. You know, you wonder, how do they grow up so differently? Same parents, same home. Same background, same school, same food. Everything was the same. They grew up under the same roof. Everything is the same. And they're so different. But however, there's one common denominator that all these children have, from the wicked, rebellious, angry, agnostic child to the sweet, inquisitive child who desires only to learn and to broaden his knowledge. What's the common denominator of all four children, of the whole range, of the whole gamut? They're sitting at the table. They're all sitting at the table. That's the common denominator. How did they say? They come home for the holidays. Home for the holidays. They come home. Even the Rasha comes from his wicked place, leaves his wickedness behind for a little while, and he comes to the table. Afilo HaRasha Nifgash Im Oivdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the Rasha, he connects. He encounters, he meets with those who are serving Shem, those who are misanyan, the Torah mitzvahs, those who are showing a genuine interest in Hashem's teachings, in Hashem's commandments. The Yesh Lekaves, there's hope. If he comes home for the holidays, there's hope. What's the hope? Shgam hu yibas et shem Torah mitzvah. Someday he will too absorb the message of Torah. He too will begin to observe the mitzvahs. He's at the table. He comes home. The ulam. However, the Rebbe said, "Litzareinu yesh," to our grief and our consternation, there is ubemyuchad bizmaneinu, especially in our time, there's a ben hachamishi, and this is a growing number. Unfortunately, there's swelling ranks in this fifth child. Zesheini nimza klal liyad shulchan haseder. This is the child that doesn't come home for the holidays. This is the child that doesn't sit at a seder on Passover night. He doesn't know about this Jewish thing. The Rasha is angry about the Jewish thing. Being angry sometimes is good. At least he cares. He's not ambivalent. This guy's ambivalent. It's irrelevant. He could care less. He doesn't even know about Leila Seder. Yitzias Mitzrayim, going out of Egypt, Kabbalah Satira, receiving Hashem's Torah. Yehudi. The Rebbe says it is forbidden for us to forget about a single Jewish child. Echad, v'yochid, one child, you can't forget about him. That was Moshe Ben HaTorah, ran after one sheep, one lost sheep. Yesh lehismaser li'ilodim elu b'msidas nefesh. We have to commit ourselves, we have to dedicate ourselves. with great personal sacrifice to these children too, with a sense of avas yisrael, a sense of love for our fellow. V'kvar zman rav lefnei chag ha-pesach, long before Passover night arrives, long before it's Leil HaSeder, yesh lahashkia es kol ha-keiches, we should work really hard in the next 2 weeks. Kedei lachalaitz es ha-ben ha-chamishi, in order to pressure the fifth child to maybe get him out of a situation and at least bring him back to the table. Let's bring him back to the table. He's not coming to a table now. Now is the time, not the night of the Seder. Night of the Seder, you speak to the four. Now is the time to deal with the fifth, who isn't going to be presently. He has no plans of being at the Seder table. And if we make those efforts, with Hashem's help, hopefully he'll come to the table. And even if he comes in as a Ben HaRosha, at least he's at the table. And if he's at the table, he's part of the conversation. And then hopefully we can slowly get through to him and good things can happen. I want to finish to you this whole little step, you know, the fourth step of Pesach, which is the step of passing it on. Don't pass over any kids. There was a Hasidic Rebbe from Israel who came to visit our Rebbe in the late 1970s. And there's no video of this meeting, but there's an audio tape of it. And I heard this, Rabbi Yisrael Darren told me, he heard it from Rabbi Benjamin Klein, who was standing right behind the Rebbe, that the Rebbe at some point says to this Hasidic leader from Israel, he says to him, what are you doing about the children in Israel on drugs? It was in the 70s, there was a huge problem. So it was like drugs in schools, it was a really big problem. And he said, like almost with a smile, he said to the Rebbe in Yiddish, we don't have problems with that with our children. So apparently the Rebbe was sitting at his chair, the armchair, so the Rebbe gripped the arms of his chair to restrain himself. Until, and again, I'm telling you, Rabbi Darren told me, he heard this from Rabbi Klein, who was standing right behind the Rebbe. The Rebbe's knuckles went white, controlling himself not to respond with any kind of anger. And the Rebbe said very slowly and deliberately, Welche idische Kinder seine nit unsere? Which Jewish children are not ours? And that is perhaps the essential message of make sure you don't pass over any fellow Yidden, but instead we have to find a way to pass it on to them. L'chaim.